You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Good morning, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Bert, senior pastor of Every Nation Church, GTA, the greatest church on the planet, in my opinion, because of all of you. Make it that way. And happy Thanksgiving. Hope you get a chance to, for those of you who are working, I hope that you get tomorrow off and you can relax and have fun and just enjoy Thanksgiving. I grew up in Canada here, and so, you know, we have a tradition of cooking a big turkey, which we've already done that, actually. And so if I'm stumbling around here in a food coma, you'll know exactly why that is. It's sort of a tradition to just really kind of overdo it on the eating and things. But then, you know, we can come to church and we can repent and, you know, get it all right with the Lord. So anyway, here we are. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm really actually excited about the fact that we have these holidays. Canada historically has been a Christian nation. Not so much now, but it was very Christian. And so public holidays are things like Christmas, where we celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, and Easter and Good Friday, where we celebrate the death and resurrection of the Lord. And although that Thanksgiving isn't necessarily one of those biblical holidays, I think it's great as a nation that it was set in place a long time ago to give thanks to God at least once a year, to really set that aside and to be grateful and thankful to the Lord. And so this is a one-off message. We just finished a series. We're going to be starting a new series next week. But for this Sunday, I just wanted to concentrate in on Thanksgiving itself. And the concept of Thanksgiving and remembering are all throughout the Bible. And so the title of this sermon is Remembering to Give Thanks. Remembering to Give Thanks. And so we're going to take a passage as our text from the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, and I've got some excerpts from that that chapter that I'd like to read as we get into God's Word. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Skipping down to verse 17. You may say to yourself, by my power and strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. And then one more verse, 19. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Wow. Lord, you're serious about this Thanksgiving stuff, aren't you? Yes, he is. So what to remember? From this passage, there's lots of things that we remember, but first of all, we just need to remember him, and I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. We need to remember his purpose. It talks about, you know, the things that God has to do, has for Israel, his redemptive plan on earth, and then also to remember his covenant. So let me just talk a little bit about just remembering him. It's really remembering God's goodness in our life, remembering his protection, remembering his provision. We were driving on the highway down to a church today, and I was talking with my good friend Wayne, who's here visiting, and they had traveled on the highway to visit relatives as well in the area, and just how many times, you know, when we see these accidents on the side of the road, and we don't even know how many times that the Lord protects us. We're just even unaware of how many times he has protected us, how many times he's expressed his goodness to us. And it's interesting that in verse 13 and 14, it says that when our flocks, when we grow large, when we increase in our day, maybe we graduate, we get a good job, and we begin to be able to make some savings, maybe we're even able to buy our first home. It says that the tendency here is that we would forget the Lord, that we our hearts would be proud and we would forget this. And as I was just pondering this line, forget the Lord, I just was thinking about forgetting the Lord. And, you know, I think sometimes we forget that the Lord has feelings. Do you ever think about that? The Lord has feelings. Jesus, as God in the flesh, cried. There was times when he was upset. God by the Holy Spirit is represented as a dove. And the thing about a dove is that it doesn't take much and they've flown away. We think of God as an eagle or a lion, but God's also like a dove. And the Bible says that he's easily grieved, actually. And how many of us love to be forgotten? Well, none of us. I can remember one time, I've shared this before, when I was 12 or 13, I come from a large family, 7 kids, and I don't blame my parents, but I remember coming up, it's summertime, we're busy, and I can remember getting close to my birthday, and no one was talking about my birthday. And I was kind of a mischievous kid around that age anyhow, and so I thought, you know, I'm not going to remind anybody about my birthday's coming up. And sure enough, my birthday came and went, and no one acknowledged my birthday. And then the next day, I mentioned it, and oh, my mom felt so bad, and my parents, and, you know, I probably should have said something and reminded them, but anyway. But the fact of the matter is, it wasn't the greatest feeling to have your birthday forgotten. And how many times when, you know, in today's society, you've probably heard the term, you've been ghosted, you know, I mean, isn't that an awful feeling? When all of a sudden you have that connection with someone and for whatever reason they don't even like, you know, they're not responding to text or phone call. It's just like they're just gone. And the feeling that it just leaves you with is terrible. But have you ever thought about the times that we may have ghosted God? It's like we're not even like talking to him. We're not even spending time with him like we should. You know, and I'm not talking about going through rituals of, oh, well, we need to check our religious list. I'm talking about just the desire to continue to love God, to have a relationship with him, to get to know him more. And in fact, even in my own life, one of the occupational hazards of being a pastor and being in the ministry is some of these things are sort of on your routine list, like you have to study the Bible because you have to preach these things called sermons on Sunday once in a while. And it can be confusing because it's like, did I spend time with God or did I just prepare a message? And I had to realize that even in my own life, too many times, I'm just doing this because it's part of my job. And I just spent a little bit of time even preparing this message, just telling the Lord, you know, that's not right. I don't want to ghost you. You've been good to me on Thanksgiving. And I think the Lord wants to ask us all that question. You know, are we developing? Do we love him? Do we want to spend time with him? Do we want to talk to him? Do we want to give him thanks? Do we want to continue to grow in our relationship with him and really continue to walk that out? Part of that is just remembering, you know, the good things that he has done for us. You know, that's part of the way that we remember. I remember when we were being called by the Lord to come back to Canada. We, for those of you who don't know our story, we're Canadians, but we lived a number of years in the U.S. and loved our time there in Nashville, helping to build our Every Nation headquarters there, over those North American headquarters over those years. And it was a real big challenge to come back to Canada because I was leaving behind a good salary and had to raise support and start all over again in those ways. And I can remember how stressful that was. You know, you got family and you've got all these payments. And I can remember just before we were pulling the trigger to move here, we needed like a massive financial miracle, just a huge one. And we needed, because when you church plant, you usually make a 3-year plan, and you have to have a, you know, budget together for 3 years. And I was about $50,000 short per year for my 3-year plan. Like there was just no way we would be able to come to Toronto. And I can remember that there was a connection with a ministry that was funding church planting, and I can remember it was coming up. My last paycheck in Nashville was like about to become my last one, and then I didn't have enough support to pay our bills. And it was only just a couple weeks before our last paycheck. And God did part the Red Sea for us. And we made a commitment, or we got a commitment of $150,000, a three-year pledge for $50,000 a year. And that's how our family was able to be here with you guys here, was through God, like just performing this amazing miracle on our behalf. But it's interesting that you can just forget stuff like that. You can just forget it. And that's forgetting the Lord. And we forget the big things that he's done in life or the little things. It's about forgetting him. So one of the things, remembering to give thanks to just the Lord himself, we need to not forget. Secondly, we need to remember his purpose. Remember his purpose. We have a lot of fun here at this church. There's like, when we dismiss, if you've never been at this church, it gets really loud after church because people are hanging out, they're grabbing a coffee and eating, and it's like, there's just, whenever new people come, I remember in visit, they go, man, after church, what happens to you guys? Like, it's like, whoa, it's loud, and everybody's having such a good time. This last, we got a notice from a great couple in our church, a Futsunu Tunu, and they sent us this slideshow of their fifth wedding anniversary, which was just yesterday. And for those of you who know that couple, but there's a lot of fun things that happen in church. But God doesn't only call us to have fun. He asks us to not forget his purpose. He calls us to be together and to have fun and to have relationships, but he also calls us to not forget the purpose. There's a purpose here. There's a purpose that we're not supposed to just keep what we've received in, but we are called to pass it on to others. We have to do that. And it's so easy to start thinking about just us. You know, it's one of the reasons why we, you know, acknowledge our newcomers. You know, we don't know if you love the Lord already or you don't know him, but maybe, you know, we want to reach out our arms, and we want to be a welcoming place and see if there are people that, you know, life's hard these days. And, you know, we want to be there and introduce not only ourselves, but also the one who can really make a difference, which is the Lord. And so I thought, you know, I think I need to remind us on this Thanksgiving Day that us as a church community, we have a purpose before God. And so I'm going to put up our vision statement again, and it is this. As a church, we envision being a multi-ethnic people of all ages who passionately follow Jesus together on his mission to bring gospel transformation to the people and culture of Toronto, and through it, to the world. How many people in this room were not born in Canada? I would say about 90%, 85%, something like that. This is an amazing city. All the nations of the world are here for a reason. And part of the purpose that we have together is to say, Lord, let's see this place become a place that honors you. Let's see the hurting be healed. Let's see those who are in difficulty. Let's see the refugee helped, as we heard our testimony a couple weeks ago about a family from Afghanistan that this church helped bringing to Canada. Let's make a difference. And sometimes we get so caught up that we forget that there's actually a purpose for you being a Christian. The Apostle Paul said, I strive to grab a hold of that for which I was grabbed hold of by Christ. He understood that his life, that God grabbed his life for a purpose. And if you're a believer here today, God has grabbed your life for a purpose too. And sometimes we forget that. But on this Thanksgiving Day, I would encourage us all to remember his purpose. Closely related to that is to remember his covenant. You know, God is faithful. Going back to verse 18, it says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. God is on a rescue mission for this world. That's why Jesus came. The whole story of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is one of it was our world was created perfect. It fell in sin. It is being redeemed for Christ, and one day it will be renewed, a new heaven and a new earth. And that is the arc of Scripture. It is the story of God. It is what we are called into, something way bigger than ourselves. But part of that is that God unashamedly says, I'm going to give you power to make wealth. Why? Why? If you make more than 2,900 U.S. dollars in a year, you are on the 50% richest. Do you realize what I said there? Is that the median income in the world today is $2,900. That means that's the middle. Half the people in the world make less than 2,900 U.S. dollars in a year, and half the world make more. It's pretty sobering, isn't it? Everybody in this room is rich by a global standard. You're rich. And it's so easy. Jesus, when he preached at the Sermon on the Mount, talked about how deceitful riches are, how they just blind us. And I know it's an expensive city. We all talk about how and all of that. But that's first world expensive. It's like even to be able to exist, we have to give thanks. We need to give thanks. We need to. And at the same time, God wants to give us the power to make wealth, to establish his covenant. But we have this tendency to worship what God gives us more than the God who gave it to us. That's our tendency. I want to tell you a story. I don't know how I got onto this, but sometimes you know how you randomly, you're researching, you Google something, and you come across something interesting. And I don't even know how I came across this. Can't remember. But it relates to this idea of God giving you the power to make wealth to establish his covenant. And we have a story right about this city called Toronto. See, when a lot of the West was developed, the cities in North America, whether it's New York or Toronto or Calgary, they were known as like rough cities. Like they weren't sophisticated. They weren't there. There was a lot of I don't know what you call it, crime, partying. I don't know, just rough. And Toronto was one of those cities. It was a typical city like that in the late 1800s. And one of the mayors of Toronto, I'm going to read a little story about him. We have a picture. His name is William Howland. He was the 25th mayor of Toronto. And I want to read just a little bit of how God gave him the power to make wealth to establish his covenant in this city. Why is Toronto, Ontario, sometimes called Toronto the Good? It goes back to Mayor William Howland of Toronto, a public servant who was so dedicated to helping the disadvantaged that he gave away most of his wealth. Son of the Honorable W.P. Howland, the first Lieutenant Governor of Ontario, William was possessed with a bubbly enthusiasm and a phenomenal capacity for work. By the age 25, William was president, vice president, or director of more than a dozen companies in the field of insurance and finance, electrical services, and paint manufacturing. When he became the president of the Queen City Fire Insurance Company, he was the youngest insurance company president in Canada. As well, Howland was president of three influential organizations, the Toronto Board of Trade, the Dominion Board of Trade, and the Manufacturers Association of Ontario. It's amazing what you can do if you don't have a smartphone. Because of his great compassion for the poor, he was elected as mayor of Toronto in 1855 with a strong mandate to clean up the city. Howland signaled his arrival in the mayor's office by installing a 12-foot banner on the wall reading, "Except the Lord build the city, the watchman wakes but in vain." A reference to Psalm 127. Can you imagine a mayor marching in now and putting up a banner from Scripture? This guy was bold. As a champion of the poor, Howland and his friend, Reverend John Selman, would tramp the lanes and alleys, feeding the poor, praying over the sick, and comforting the sad. That was our mayor. During his re-election campaign in 1887, all the taxi cabs were paid off by Holland's opponents so that they would refuse to take Holland's supporters to the polling stations. Women, however, 2,000 widows and single women who owned property, which is what you needed to do in order to vote, had just been given the vote. So they held up their long Victorian dresses and trucked through the snow to give Howland the moral reformer a second term. When Howland was reelected by a landslide, over 3,000 of his supporters at the YMCA hall spontaneously burst into singing, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow." He died at the age of 49 from acute case of pneumonia. That's a testimony, isn't it? That's a testimony of someone who was able to make wealth, work hard, but not forgetting the purpose and the covenant. I think it's a good reminder for each one of us. Okay, a couple more points to this message. What happens when we fail to give thanks? It's a little bit sobering, actually. God has a way of steering us back onto track. But sometimes it's a painful process. Proverbs 3:12 says this, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in." And also another passage from Hebrews, which is actually following up on this passage, says, "Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." I can remember as a young man, I'm from British Columbia, from Vancouver, small town on Vancouver Island, and I had a vision to get off that island, to get to Vancouver, and make something of my life. I didn't want to be a part of a small town, or as my African friends say, I wanted to leave my village and come, and I wanted to make some of my life, and I didn't want to be poor. To be honest, I wanted to go to University of British Columbia. I wanted to go because I thought that, well, if I studied there, then I could make my life something. I could be someone, and I had a religious upbringing as a kid, but wasn't following God. I was starting to get a little bit closer to God, maybe when, you know, because of some influence at university, but for the most part, you know, I wasn't. And I went through a very humbling experience, especially in second year, where just a lot of depression and confusion hit my life and different things. And it really, I believe when I look back on it, it was the discipline of the Lord. Because I just wanted to do my own thing without regard to what God's will might be on my life. In fact, when I thought of all the careers out there that I would potentially do, at the very bottom of the list, like number 1,000, would be like be a pastor. And he's like, I just, like, that would be the last, like the bottom of the barrel. And, but God had a call on my life. And somehow in the back of my mind, I knew that if I surrendered my life to the Lord, that he might want me to do that. And so he just, in a painful disciplinary situation, just let my life unravel. And lo and behold, that's when a campus missionary came to our campus and preached about what it really meant to serve Jesus Christ, not only as your Savior, but make him your Lord and give him your whole life and ask him what it is you want to, he wants to do through in and through your life. So it was a wake-up call, and it really changed the course of my direction all the way to here. And there's other times when the Lord's disciplined me, but I would say that was the cataclysmic discipline of the Lord, I feel. It was painful. But you know what? At the end, just like this scripture says, that at the end of it, there's something good that comes from the discipline of the Lord. So in your life, I don't know. I can't tell you what's the discipline of the Lord and what's just because we live in a fallen world. But that's something you have to figure out. But God does discipline those who loves. And when we forget him and forget his purpose, forget his covenant, he can move into our life in this way and discipline us. It's also forgetting God is the path of degradation. And I'll just end this little section on this. As Romans 1:21 says this, for all they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. When we quit acknowledging God and giving thanks, there's a darkness, actually, that comes upon our lives, and we become futile in our thinking. We want our thinking to be alive. We want our thinking to be fully alive. We want our thinking and our lives to be alive. Then we need to be connected to God and giving him thanks for the good things that he has done. Okay, I'm going to conclude with this section called Practical Thanksgiving. Practically, I think for those of you who are walking with the Lord, think of life without Christ and before Christ. That's one of the practical ways we can actually remember and give thanks. You know, what were those dark moments in your life, and how has God brought you out of that? My mom, who went to be with the Lord this summer, age 97, her favorite hymn, and we had to sing it at her funeral, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. And she grew up very poor, Métis family. And one of the things that, you know, we were taught was that you have to balance out the negative things that happen in your life by counting your blessings, that counting the blessings from God. Another way we can give thanks, and I learned this when we were pastoring our first church in Calgary. We had several Africans in our church, and they would give a thank offering. So they would, like, I remember Aboje and Anonche, these twin boys who got master's degrees in industrial education there. I remember after they graduated, and this was common from our Africans, they would give a special offering above their tithe just as a thanksgiving. Like, instead of saying, yeah, I graduated, aren't I great? They're going, it was a sign that saying, yeah, but God gave me the ability to do this. He gave me the opportunity to do this. And I thought it was beautiful. I learned this practical thanksgiving just this week from Pastor Tristan. He says, as a newcomer to Canada, you have more opportunities if you come from a developing nation. And what can happen is you can see the next opportunity, the next opportunity, the next opportunity. And he said it's really important that you start counting and considering what you've already gained and enjoy it, as opposed to getting on the rat race and starting to always go one more. You know the old saying, even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. So, and then my wife and I have done this on a phone of just a Thanksgiving list. Just a Thanksgiving list. And today, I'm a thankful man. I'm a grateful man. I have a beautiful wife of 34 years, 9 years, 39 years, something. Here, it's on my ring. Let's see, 1985, yeah. You know, I've two of my children here, my daughter from Nashville. I have my son Luke here, and I have our first beautiful granddaughter Thea from Joel and Natalie. My son Joel and his beautiful wife Natalie met here in this church when they were students. I'm so grateful. I'm grateful that, you know, 11 years ago when we decided to come to Toronto, that another great young man of God, Richard Kidger and his wife, decided to come all the way from Cape Town, South Africa, and leave one of the most beautiful spots in the world to come and live in a concrete jungle with us. And it's beautiful here too, but I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for our music people. I'm grateful for Jacob Moon. You have been a blessing to our church, and you've been a supporter of our church. You've done just become a good friend, and I thank you for that. And I'm not going to go through everybody, so don't get offended, because I'm going to miss a whole bunch of people here, okay? I can't go down every row, okay? But, you know, I'm going to call out a few, you know? Matt, who's been so faithful all these years, just serving in small groups and behind the scenes. And I think of the Ganna family. I mean, what don't they do for this church? Just amazing. So if you don't know them, you feel their impact in many, many ways, in our music people and our kids. It's just all the people in this community, you know, and people who have chosen to buy half the house for twice the price and stay with us in this church. You know, and that's a commitment. You know, there's couples and families in our church here that could just have a way better life, let's just say that, if they would do that. But they've said no. We've had people who've turned down job offers in other cities to say, no, I want to be committed to this. And I just say thank you. You know who you are. And there's so many more. But at the end of the day, you know, as we're giving thanks and we're having, that attitude, we have to remember most of all, and I'm going to conclude with this, is that we need to remember his son. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.